What we're talking about is late night, early morning, low clouds. With a chance of fall, chance of showers in the afternoon. With variable high cloudiness, gusty winds at times around that corner of Sunset and Alvarado. Yeah, I know, things are tough all over. When the thunderstorms start increasing over the southeast and south central portions of my apartment, I get upset. And a line of thunderstorms was developing in the early morning hours ahead of a slow-moving cold front. Cold blood. With tornado watches issued shortly before noon Sunday for the areas including the western region of my mental health. And the northern portion of my ability to deal rationally with my disconcerting, precarious emotional situation. Cold out there. Colder than a ticket taker smile at the Ivor Theater on Saturday night. Flash flood watches cover the southern portion of my disposition. Yeah. There was no severe weather well into the afternoon. Kind of a low gust wind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connection. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and it's great to have you here with me today. We have a Tuesday edition, the 14th of February, and my birthday. I've made it to another year. We don't know how many more there'll be, but you know, I enjoy everyone that passes, and it's great to have everybody listening today. It's IamTheWitness.com is the website. As you all know, you can go there for all kinds of information, including downloads of these broadcasts, as well as all of the archives that we're able to put up. We don't have all the archives up on the site because we just couldn't handle the bandwidth. But you'll also find news items, and you'll find the articles that Eric and I have done over time, many of them dealing with deception and how people are using the 9/11 movement to confuse, to obfuscate, and to generally, ladies and gentlemen, just to send you down the wrong rabbit hole. And what we got to be vigilant of here is having the people with the big budgets sending us all to the wrong place for our info. And, you know, we've done repeatedly talked about how to stop that from happening. And so, but that being said, today was a very interesting day. An event that I'm going to talk about in a minute happened to me, and I want to bring up my guest first of all. It's my my friend Mohammed Rafik from London, and actually Eric Hushmidt is going to be coming on for a little three-way conference call here today on the 14th of February, Valentine's Day. It's a day for us to love our neighbors, and so it more apropos to the conditions we're all facing here. You know, I had an event that happened today, and I want to get into it as soon as we bring my guests up. Eric, are you with me?
Yes.
Eric's here. And Mohammed, are you with me?
I'm here, Donald. How are
you? It's wonderful to have both of you here. You know, in fact, today, ladies and gentlemen, when I was on the telephone with Eric Hushmidt, I had a knock at my front door. Now, I've told you before, I live in an extraordinarily rural area. I mean, there's 150 people in a 10-mile radius of my home. And a guy pulled up to my front of my house in a rented car from the 60 department, which is about 250 kilometers or about 175 miles from my home, and presented my wife and I with a photograph of our house from the air. Now, that wouldn't be all that strange if I had asked somebody to do that for me, but I did not. And what makes it even more bizarre, ladies and gentlemen, is the man looked like he spends about 6 days a week in the gym. His head was closely cropped hair. And he looked like the meanest pit bull human being that you ever saw in your life. And he spoke French with a slight accent that my wife identified as not being from Europe. And I don't know exactly where it was from, but I'm guessing that it might have something to do with a Middle Eastern accent. Now, all that being said, it was a message to me that they are very interested in me not speaking out anymore. Well, The event frightened my wife, of course, things like that always would, and it kind of concerned me. But, you know, I want to ask you guys, first of all, I'm going to ask Muhammad. Muhammad, you know, these people are willing to try and frighten you off from these messages and willing to do things to people to get them off of their game or out of the game. And it doesn't seem to be, it seems to be a lot of work to get me to stop. I mean, they flew over my house in a rented helicopter to take a picture of my home.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised that they'd done something like that, to be honest, Daryl. I suppose they were probably getting an aerial view of the land where you are, and, you know, with there not being maps and things, if you were in a town or a city, they probably just would have had access to maps or something. I don't really know what their rationale is or what their thinking is. A lot of them, of course, just enjoy the overtime and the fact that they've got something to do.
Well, this particular, Muhammad, this guy looked like a really nasty character. I did get the, you know, part of this license plate, and I did contact my gendarmerie, and I did contact the Département de Surveillance Territoire, which is the secret police of this nation, and explained to them what had transpired at my house. And I also chased him up the road with a rifle to let him know that this was a protected home, but... aside from doing those kinds of things to people, you know, look, you know, all the pressure started when I started mentioning the word Lubavitch. And I got to be honest with you, they don't want that information out. It's very clear to me that within days of even saying that word, I was off the radio. And I started receiving real problems. I had another visit to my exterior of my home. I had my neighbor calling the police on somebody being seen outside my house at 2 a.m. They're turning up the heat on me. Now, the strategy that I'm going to adopt here is to let you all know about it. And I think, you know, if anything happens to me, you know, take a look at the information. They can't erase my files off the net. And so I think it would be a huge blunder on their part. What do you think, Muhammad?
I don't think that they're... I certainly wouldn't like to think they're trying anything more than scaring you. I'm very disturbed and saddened by the fact that your wife was frightened by them. At the end of the day, you know, there's this big brouhaha going on at the moment about the idea of freedom of speech and people complaining about Muslims not liking things which have been done in Denmark and so on.
Yeah.
But in practical terms, you know, freedom of speech doesn't seem to be that real, does it, Daryl? Because you're mentioning subjects, discussing topics that they're not happy about.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's sacrilegious. It's not that it's racist. It's not that deliberately wanting to offend people. I just wanted just to bring people's attention to the beliefs of some people or the conduct of some people. We don't hate people for what they are and who they are. We hate people for what they do.
That's right.
It's a very different thing.
Well, you're exactly right. I, you know, Eric, what do you think of this? I mean, you were on the phone at the time. I mean, it was disturbing in the extreme for me because... You know, to have somebody come to your house that looked like this guy looked like a human pit bull. It was very strange. And, yeah, it was disconcerting. And what do you make of this whole mess, Eric?
Well, I would think they're doing the same. It's like Muhammad said, trying to scare you. See, that's the problem, is that I think they're doing this to a lot of people, and a lot of people do get scared. A lot of people get scared without even getting visited by these people. Just imagining the possibility scares some people. And so that's one of the reasons those of us who decide to stand up to this are basically here by ourselves, putting a bullseye on our face. Come and get us.
Well, you know, I mean, look, I need, see, the only protection anybody has from this is to begin to outgun them with our movement, with our truth, with our evidence. Look, the facts are the facts. I didn't make them up. I was led to them through research and through... communicating with people like Ted Pike on last night's show, or from Muhammad, or you know, from Eustace Mullins, or so many others, including you know, the Cooper book that was really powerful, Bill Cooper. these kinds of investigations, including Carol Valentine, my goodness, her stuff, very powerful about Lubavitch and about, what is it, Merry Christmas Off With Your Head was one of her most recent articles. Very, very, very telling story on Carol Valentine's website. They're afraid of this evidence coming out, aren't they, Mohammed?
I think that they're afraid of debate. They're afraid of awareness. They have for a long time. I mean, as you know, I've been involved in this movement for quite a few years. It was somewhere around 16, 17 years, something like that, in terms of looking for the truth. And often, because it's just been something which has been on the fringe and something they've been able to mock, they've had quite a few different approaches to containing it. Because obviously you can never erase the truth. All you can do is contain it. And I think that their view is that as long as they've got it contained within certain borders, the situation is being managed. Obviously, what your show is doing stateside, and I was, until I downloaded from your site, I wasn't aware of the movement out there at all. What you're doing is obviously increasing that, and they see that as, you know, a leak on their containment, shall we say, and something which is to be managed. The problem facing them, if these people are honest and realistic, this is a big boat with so many holes that they cannot plug them all. And I think, you know, the fact that they've sent somebody to you, and I think that you say you get something like 15,000 downloads?
Between 10 and 15 on our good days, sometimes between 8 and 10 on the slow days. Depends on when we're, you know, when it's, the weekends are a little slower, but yeah, we get some good numbers.
If you think then, Darrell, in terms of, you know, a couple of hundred plus million people in the United States, and that's the extent to which your particular area of message is reaching, you know, that's not really something that should drive them to such extreme measures. I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today, and we think that, you know, these people are panicking. These are panic measures, you know, to go to such an extreme, whereas they could turn around and say, well, you don't have an audience, say, for instance, the size of Professor Noam Chomsky. I don't agree with everything the professor says, but some of his analysis is very good work. And yet he reaches tens of millions of people around the world.
Yeah.
And when he speaks out, he's has one of the big advantages of him is that he gets people to question in the first place. He doesn't give people the full story, but he gives intelligent people with a questioning mind evidence to back up the courage of their convictions to say, you know in your heart something's not right. Well, here's some evidence to prove the message you're being given is incorrect. He doesn't try to satiate that with the full story and the bigger picture of what's really going on, but he just confirms to them their suspicions. But he does it on such a large scale, you can't think, well, why on earth, you know, do they not trouble him? And the answer to that is, of course, because he doesn't move on the extra yard. He limits to where he goes, even though his sphere of influence is huge.
Well, so basically what you're saying is that this final push to the last couple of yards on this drive here is what's really getting them nerved up, because, look, all the evidence ran to one spot for us, and it just is easy to find once you've seen the facts. They're doing exactly what we've claimed. And they've got an agenda, they've got a timetable, they've got a budget, and they've got some very nasty characters, as evidence to me today, willing to do probably some very bizarre things to human beings. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if they're allowed to proceed unencumbered, we are all going to fall victim to tyranny regardless of what they do or not do. In other words, we're if we do nothing, we're baked. We're finished. And so what choices do we have, really, except to fight them?
Indeed, the taking of a stand is necessary. There's a very old adage, which says all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. The nature of this creation is such that to stand by and witness evil and to ignore it and to at least not hate it with your heart, to not inwardly be opposed to it, even if you're not outwardly, if you don't oppose it in any way, shape or form, it will overrun. I think that the other side really needs to, I think the expression in the States is it a rain check, where they take a break? They need a time out there, and they need to really assess things properly in terms of, you know, what is really a threat to them and what isn't.
Well, I have a question about this, though. I mean, and I'm going to ask both of you for your responses. Eric, what do you think the result would be if they did finally do me in? I mean, that would just be like shooting themselves in the foot, wouldn't it?
Well, every time they've tried to insult me publicly, it just helped sell my books. It actually brought attention. No matter, you know, whether it was Penn and Teller or whether it was George Norrie, it always helps. Attention of any sort is good. And what they're trying to do is scare you. What people have to realize is this whole organization is like Al Capone. It depends upon fear and bribery and blackmail. And as soon as people decide, I'm not going to be scared anymore, then people will realize we outnumber them 1,000,000 to 1. We have nothing to worry about if more people would just stop being frightened. Because that's what they depend on. That's how they're doing all this. It's fear, blackmail, and bribery. Without it, they've got nothing.
It's interesting you say that, Eric. I've met people in the past who, when they, have been presented with these kinds of subjects, they tend to shy away from them from some kind of inner fear. And it's a great sadness, especially, say, for Christian members of the audience who, you know, they may find these things challenging to examine. They only have to look at the teaching of Jesus, peace be upon him and his mother himself, when he says, the truth shall set you free. So one of the reasons that we seek truth is not because we're bored or we've got nothing else to do, but actually it sets you free. And what it sets you free of is these fears. Because in reality, they're not in control of everything. They don't control even their own weather. They're not in charge of their own health. Where these people at the end of the day are at the mercy of this creation as the rest of us are. And they themselves have as much to fear. If they fear just people discussing some of these matters, we know that they live in a very, very paranoid and concerned state.
And plus, there's one other thing people don't realize. We are the ones feeding them, providing them with electricity, providing them with weapons. All people have to do is just say, that's it, we're not going to do it anymore. And we could stop them so easily if more people would just stop being like frightened little children.
Well, you know, I got to be honest with both of you guys, though. I mean, you know, there was a part of me that never thought this day would come. And there was a part of me that knew it was inevitable. So here I am sitting here saying, well, you know, they wouldn't really do anything to me. They wouldn't really. I mean, but then to see an aerial photograph of my home, I mean, you know what that feels like? I mean, it was a Polaroid shot. This was not from a satellite. This was a, now come to find out when we reported it to the gendarmes, there had been a bunch of reports in the end of January of a helicopter flying low over people's homes in my area. Surprise, surprise. So they took like 6 or 8 telephone calls at the end of January about this very problem. And they made reports about it. And when we called the head guy down at the gendarmerie, he explained this to us. And I said, well, they were they were trying to sell photographs of my house, apparently, to all the neighbors. I don't know what they were doing. But the problem I'm trying to explain right now is that I didn't know that this day would come. And now that it's here, of course, I'm not going to recoil in fear from them, although it has to make you augment your behavior in some ways. But you know what, guys? I would rather not live in tyranny. I mean, what choices do we have, really? We either live in tyranny or we stop them. I mean, and I'm willing to stop these people, and I know Eric is, and I know you are, Muhammad. And I ask my listeners every day to do their small part. Now, the facts are, tens of thousands of you out there, they can't come visit you guys. You're not the top of this. You're not the tip of the arrow or the head of the spear. It's us that's doing that. But you guys could, just by bringing people to this message, we could pull some of these people's, some of the steam out of them, I think. They're already feeling the bite of Abramoff's scandal, and they're feeling the bite of this, assault on free speech that's being battled back in America. They're feeling like they're not winning anymore. And we need to capitalize on that. What do you think of that, Muhammad?
Well, I would say I feel very sorry for America and the American people, and I understand your positions as patriots of your country, that how you must be feeling. I mean, from the outside looking at America, I don't think Americans realize how much the rest of the world really knows what's going on in America. It's a strange situation,
mm-hmm.
where we know here in Europe so much of the foreign policies of the United States are not formulated in the United States. They're being forced upon the United States and employed by the United States. And then the sad point is now it's making the United States unpopular in the rest of the world.
Well, hate is a better word, I think.
Well, even hated, I would say you're correct. In some areas, it's even becoming hated. And it is a tragedy because America had and still has so much to give the world. And I think even if these people themselves, because there are amongst them thinkers, people who are aware, people who know what they're doing is wrong in their hearts, that even if they just stopped contributing to the wrong, it would move things in the right direction.
Yeah.
We had Colin Powell come to the United Kingdom a couple of years ago, and he made a statement on Radio 4 when he thought he was offline to James Naughty, the presenter, and James Naughty quoted it in his biography, in which Colin Powell said that United States was now being run by a bunch of crazies.
Well, he's saying it right, isn't he?
But he stated that in the United Kingdom. He wouldn't have dared say that stateside. But he openly said that here, and James Naughty quoted it in his book. He said, this is what he said to me privately on the phone. So there are people who actually do believe this. They know what's really going on. There must be many civil servants and people in positions of responsibility in the United States who know about this, even in intelligence organizations who are themselves American patriots. And they must be able to ask themselves the question, what am I going to leave for my children and my grandchildren if this country becomes so hated, nobody wants to do business with us, nobody wants to buy from us, nobody wants to support us. You become ostracized, and nobody wants to see that happen.
Well, that's exactly what is happening, and this is the very reason that, I love the idea that I could be a grandfather and that I could see my next generation of my family grow into something wonderful, and I'm proud of the things that, that the country has the potential to do, but so ashamed of the way things have panned out here, and I'm in many ways ashamed of my countrymen, because they all know. Eric and I have discussed this. They know something is terribly wrong, and they would rather go and watch TV and eat Twinkies and they are not moving on this stuff, and I'm so ashamed of that. I never would have thought this. Eric, what did you take on that?
Well, that's what shocked me when I first put my book out and saw the reaction of people turning away from it. I never expected that at all either. People, grown men, the policemen, the firemen, the military people. I mean, these are supposed to be people who are brave. Americans, they're not really brave. What they are is there's a lot of violence. A lot of them can wave guns around and, run over to Iraq and shoot people that have, primitive weapons. But that's not bravery. That's violence. And that's when you have a big advantage on your side. That's like an adult attacking a child. That's not bravery. Bravery is facing your problems. even if you are a little bit, you know, uneven here, and they have more against you. And that's what I don't see in this country. That where is the people? Where are they? It's like only a small group, and the majority of them are just like the, you know, as dumb as George Bush thinks they are, apparently.
Well, not knowing all this stuff is coming to pass without much of a fight, and knowing that we're doing our best, and we've documented our work. Muhammad did two wonderful pieces, and you have to be applauded for your efforts, Muhammad. They were spot on. And in fact, if you haven't heard Ted Pike's commentary on what you did, he was very, very, very impressed by the quality of your research and the work you put into to understanding all this. So his report yesterday was complimentary in the extreme to what you put out. And all of the stuff we've got on that website is accurate, and it's straight up, and it's what we found, man, and it's where all the roads led. And, Eric, I want to bring this up because it's something you've talked about so many times. These people in the so-called truth movement in America who spent 6, 8, 10 years, 12 years in some cases, looking into this and come nowhere near these facts. The fact is, they never looked in the first place, did they? Because if you look, this is where you're going to end up.
Right. When you first discover 9/11 is, you know, something fishy, your first reaction is, oh, George Bush did it. The more you look, the more you realize there's more to it than Bush. It doesn't take you that long to figure out, you know, there's a lot of Israelis involved in this. And then you look at the media, and you look at the banking system, and you look at the 9/11 truth seekers, all the crypto Jews, crypto Zionists. It doesn't take much to figure this out at all. And yet we got people in there like Rents who've been in there for years and years, and they don't, you know, what you get mostly is nonsense from them. And they're even listed on the government site as a possible, you know, as an example of a stupid conspiracy site. This is another example of why are they listed as a conspiracy site by the government? They are getting publicity from the U.S. government, from the State Department. This is the other pattern that you'll notice. Certain of these people are getting a lot of publicity from one another and even from the government, and sometimes from these clear channel radio stations like, the George Norrie.
Yeah, Coast to Coast.
Right.
And Shadow.
Now, how is it possible that Rents gets to be listed by the U.S. government, getting publicity right on their website? They would never put huge questions up there, or I am the witness. No, and see what it is, it's a sign that they are putting him up there because they know this is one of the safe sites. One of the sites is going to send people in the wrong path.
Well, he's their information managers, and basically what we've discovered, Eric, is the further down the field we push the subjects, the more damage control they do around the subjects we've exposed. In other words, you start seeing that they get involved in Zionism, of course, but it's not as an exposer of Zionist truth. What it is is a manager of what we've put out into the public airwaves. And so they become information managers rather than people exposing the truth. And that's true with Henry Mackow. It's true with Judy Andreas. It's true with John Kaminsky. It's true with this guy Shemansky. And on and on and on. And the facts are these people are writing basic pieces to dissuade you from our evidence and make you think their evidence is more credible. The fact is, it's quite the opposite. And, you know, these are the battles we face because we've got no budget. I don't make money doing this, and nor do I get paid for it. Which reminds me, send me a dollar. I'm kidding, guys. We're backed into a corner here. We've got this tiny little budget. We've got a three-way calling plan on a phone system, Eric, to do the show. But it's not the show. This isn't entertainment, guys. Muhammad, you know, the Muslim community is fighting for its very existence. And the rest of the world, if we're to believe what these people have planned for us, are really fighting for their existence, and they don't even know it. We are the goyim. We are the people that the Bible, in their Bible, their documents, say are lower than cattle. And if you to believe what they've got planned for us is real, we're going down the tubes with these. They're going to do us in.
Well, there is certainly, as I pointed out in my program that we did together, that the Talmudic interpretation of the Bible leads them to that understanding, and that they can slay lives and all sorts of other types of carry on. which is not the same as the Torah observant, even though they might still have the same theological views that, you know, that a non-Jew and the Goyim are separate, the Jew and the Gentile are separate. They're not allowed to act upon that. They're not allowed to slay the life, and so on and so on and so on. So the difference of understanding is there. I think at some point, the fact that there is this difference of understanding is something which plays is going to play out in the state of Israel itself. These two competing factions of Judaism ultimately have to go head to head, Daryl. So it's not, although they're well on the way to achieving what they think they're going to achieve, there are many reasons why failure is also imminent for them. They are not united.
Yeah.
And this goes back all the way to the start of the Sabbatian movement with Zevi himself, when they were going to make a rabbinical excommunication of him. So they even though they've used the Lubavitch to this day to try and bring people without knowing into the Sabbatian movement, thinking they're involved in something else, they have failed. In that, the Satmar is still very strong, and the Neturei Karta are still very strong, and they haven't moved in 90 years. And bear in mind now, gentlemen, these are people who have suffered for over 100 years at the hands of the Zionists, through because they've opposed them continually for 100 years, and their rabbis and their adherents have been assassinated by them for 90 years.
Yeah.
But they've stood by their message. And they've tried to bring the attention of the world to their plight.
Well, you know, here's the final thing I want to discuss tonight with you guys before we call it a quick end here, because I'm tired today, and you know, here's the thing. Going forward, my greatest hope is that we can attract 30,000 to 40,000 people, because with a mass of that's critical. You've got to understand that 40,000 mark is a 6 degree of separation from every human being in America. I mean, with 40,000, somebody they know somebody else that they know, and they know everybody in the country. In other words, we could communicate with everyone in our nation if we get to a base of 40,000. Now, the 10,000 is a quarter of the way there. I'm relying on the listeners to get the rest of this truth out to the public. And I mean, I think that America is ripening for this truth. They can smell a rat. They know that these people are behind it. They've seen the Abramoff thing. They've seen the Pollard case on the spying. They've seen the dancing Israeli information. So people are starting to become aware that these are the guys that are doing it. Now it's just a matter of us getting the news to them and getting this movement up to the critical mass. Do you have any suggestions, Mohammed, how we could get that final stage so people can start absorbing this?
Well, I think that one group of people that really need to nail their colors to the mast at this stage are those Jews who maybe are not even religious, like the Satmar and the Neturei Karta. Maybe they're Jews who, you know, they don't really practice any form of Judaism. Or they're very weak in it, but they themselves are unaware of the secret movements within their community. I think the time is ripe for them, Daryl, to now put their colours on the mast, to say, I'm going to disassociate from this, I don't want to be associated with it, and I myself am going to speak out against it. And not in, as you quite rightly point out, through the disinformation movement, where they put these kind of subjects in between somebody going on a camping holiday in Yellowstone Park and Elvis and Sasquatch turning up and them doing some kind of gig together. And
what are you talking about? Rent.com?
Well, I'm not going to name names, but I've seen it out there. It is vaguely amusing to see that stuff, but I'm sure some of these intelligence guys must have a bit of a joke between themselves as to what kind of stuff to put up there to try and discredit it. I can see the humour in that. But the facts are that this is, the subject is too serious. and that community, and also the members of the intelligence community who recognize that their loyalty is to the Constitution of the United States and not the government, and that if the government of the United States is violating that Constitution, they have sworn an oath to Almighty God to protect that Constitution.
Yes,
and
they have.
He will hold them accountable for that.
Well, those are powerful words, Muhammad. And Eric, do you have maybe a closing little statement to make about what your take is on all? How do we get this thing to the next level? I mean, I made a very impassioned plea yesterday to my listeners to just bring a person a week, one person, find them, and if you get resistance, go to the next person. Don't spend any time on resistors.
Right.
Maybe a month from now they'll lower their resistance, but just go to people who are willing to hear what you've got to say.
Well, I think it is coming out right now, and that's why I think you see this tremendous push for things like loose change and the Vatican stuff. I think what it is, they realize they're losing control, and what they're doing now is damage control. I think their plan is that it's going to come out, and they want to be in control now, and that's why they wanted to get rid of you. And that's why they're pushing the loose change in all of their people. They want to be the ones who expose it so that they remain in control. And so what people have to watch for now, what we have to tell people is, take a look at some of those articles at IamTheWitness.com, like the crypto Jews, so that they don't get caught in the same predicament where just another group of the same criminals just takes control, pushes Bush and Cheney out and gets control. And we're in the same predicament. So this is what they have to be watching out for, because I think it is coming out. Right now it's coming out, if you look all over America. And so what I see, the pattern I see right now, is they're pushing their side. They're saying, well, it's going to come out, let's get our people to expose it, push aside the really honest people that we have no control over. And this is what they've got to start looking for. Take a look at some of the articles on IamTheWitness.com and explain it to their friends and send the links around, pass it around to their friends.
Well, I think that's good advice, and I'm here to fight with you guys as long as my got breath in me. This is not an option for me, because I made a commitment some time ago. Of course, for me the reality of it all came home to roost today. But you know something, deep down in my soul, I knew that this was the fight that I had to fight, and I'm hoping that I can get every single one of you out there to stand shoulder to shoulder with me, or at least in spirit, with Eric and I and Mohammed and David over here and so many others. Eustace Mullins in the States and Michael Piper and, Karen Katowski. We've got people, even Ray McGovern, it's just going further and further. He's stating things that he would have never thought he would say, but he's saying them. Ladies and gentlemen, the fight is now. The fight is today. The message is, I'm not going to be afraid of them. I'm going to do my best. You know, guys, I'm proud to work with both of you. I've got to be honest with you. I'm proud to have both of you on my side. And it's an important thing that we're doing. And you know something? I can't shrink from it. It's got to be done.
Well, I agree. In fact, most people should be looking at their own lives and thinking, what have I got anyway for their future? Most of them just have a TV set, and they have a job that may not even last long. Their cities are a mess. Their children are not even having much of a future. They've got nothing to really lose. So why are they afraid to fight this and make something better? They really need to take a serious look at themselves and their future and the future of their children before they decide they'd rather sit in fear. So that's what I would tell everybody. Look at your own life and your future and ask yourself, is being frightened really an improvement?
And of course, Eric, the future of the country.
Right.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for coming on tonight. I called this special meeting because of what transpired just 3 hours ago before this broadcast, just 3 hours. And, I appreciate your counsel on it, everyone, And I understand everyone out there will have great hopes for a good outcome for all of us. But the fight goes on, and we're going to win. We're going to take them down, and we're going to become the country, the great nation that we were designed to be. And we were designed, as Muhammad pointed out so clearly, by a wonderful constitution that protected each and every one of us from these kinds of tyrannies. And yet we've allowed it to leak out of our hands as though it was water. It's time to collect this back into our hands and start controlling our destiny. And I want to appreciate both of my guests today for having shared all of their thoughts, and all of you listeners for tuning in to the French Connection. We will be back tomorrow. We have another great guest, and keep the fight up, ladies and gentlemen. Bring a listener, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye now.